Welcome to Embracing Continuous Behaviour Change for Anger Management, the podcast that helps you to calm your emotions and communicate effectively. I'm your host, Claire Broadley, the Anger Management Coach. In this podcast, I'll bring you expert interviews, inspiring stories, and practical advice on calming your emotions and living a more peaceful and fulfilling life. So sit back, relax, and get ready to master your emotions. Okay, good morning and welcome to our listeners. I'm Claire Broadley, and today I have the lovely Tanya Levy, who is joining us from the other side of the world. Tanya, welcome.
Thank you so much. And yes, it's a good evening for me, not a good morning at all.
Just remind me whereabouts you're in Australia.
I'm right down the bottom in Melbourne in Victoria. So yes, Nice and cold at the moment, although not quite as cold as what I believe you guys experience, but still it's cold for me anyway.
How cold's your cold?
Well, we've had it pretty cold this winter, so we've had some highs of about, 8 or 9, and our lows, we don't go below zero, but, today It was 15 or 16 degrees and I was freezing.
Do you know, that's probably our normal day.
I know. We actually had some sunshine, so, I can't complain about that. That's always a good thing.
Brilliant. We've got some of that today, so fingers crossed it stays.
Beautiful.
So, thank you so much. And I explained to you before we started that a lot of the podcasts that I do, I bring in everyday people who are happy to talk about things that they have been through in life, that they have come out the other side of, and to share with our listeners the things that they've been through and how they have overcome them. And I know you sent me a short script a while ago just about the things that you're happy to share, etc. So if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to start off with that. And I'll just, my style is very, very relaxed and coffee chat. That's how I like to call it anyway. So whatever your drink is, we'll have that kind of chat.
Shame. I should have got one before I go on.
Just got water. Next time. Okay. So, Tanya, you mentioned that you lost your mum at a very young age, and that must have had such an impact on your life. Would you mind sharing that with us as to what happened?
Sure. So unfortunately, my mum passed away when I was only 2. She died of breast cancer, which was, back then. So I'm currently now 53. I know we're not supposed to say that out loud, but that's okay. I'm good with that. And so, that was a long time ago where there wasn't much treatment for cancer. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was 1 of 4. And my mum had 4 kids in 5 years. Which is kind of insane. When you get to be a mother, you sort of think, oh my God, shoot me now, just hearing that. But, and my dad has, been a great dad. He was a heavy worker. So a lot of the load of raising the kids was on her. But she got unwell and passed away. So, obviously a tragic event and quite sad. I think my dad at that stage wasn't quite sure, how to handle it. So they do the best that he did the best that he could. He remarried actually quite quickly, and he actually married one of my cousins. Which is an interesting story because it means that my two mothers' mothers are sisters. Sisters. so it was, it comes with, it's tough, in the beginning. Yeah. I'm now a step parent to somebody else's kids, and so it puts you in a situation where you actually understand, what that's like. I have a very good relationship with my now mum. I don't even call her my stepmum because she's been my mum forever. But obviously, when you're growing up and, she was 29 and took on, you know, four young kids, which is a really tough thing to do. And obviously it had its ups and its downs of growing up, you know, without a mum. And, you know, there was many times when you sort of got all these special events that happen in your life and you know, you're sitting there, you find yourself sitting there thinking, you know, I wish she was there, you know, I wish she was seeing this. I wish she was registering this on some level. But, you know, and I think for me, it really, you know, I was brought up with probably what I would now term abandonment issues, you know, that worrying about, you know, the people that you love are going to leave you and all those sorts of things. But I was very fortunate that the home that I was brought up in was, you know, very safe and very secure. And, you know, my dad was a very loving man and, you know, my second mum did the best that she could. I'm very close with my brothers and sisters. We've all grown up really close and still remain to be at this size because I think, you know, you really sort of band together to.
Yeah, through that.
Yeah, to really sort of
deal with that.
Yeah, so it was really tricky for those younger years, but being the youngest, you know, I was the baby. I think, you know, I got a lot of extra mothering from my two older sisters and my older brother. I got another sister, so who's my other sister. I don't call her a stepsister. She's just my other sister. And I made my parents promise, actually, that I wasn't going to lose my title as baby of the family when the new one came along. I was 9 and a half when she came along. And I think, you know, being younger, you still just accept things for the way they were. There was a bit of anger in the house, you know. My second mum had a bit of an angry streak, and then, you know, you tend to get that anger between different family members. And my brother had a tough time. You know, you go through being a boy, and until you are a mother of a boy, you don't understand what. Yeah. That's like.
And that must have been tough for him being the boy in the girl family, really. Very
it
female.
Was.
Yeah.
He had a lot of advantages with that later on.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
With all of our friends streaming through the house. But, you know, I think you start to sort of think, you know, when I was in my younger years, you sort of, I was not looking at it so much. For me, a lot of the frustration and the anger started to come up then in the second part of life. And especially because I mentioned, you know, when I was 16 years of age, I had a boyfriend and he invited me to go skiing with him and his family up at our ski fields, which I did. And then I went up to Queensland, which is in the north of Australia, to holiday with my grandma, and then unfortunately he decided to come home and was killed in a car accident.
Oh no.
And that was devastating. That was just a horrific thing to go through.
Yeah.
And I think that compounded then what had happened with losing my mum, you know.
Okay.
So I think a lot of that stuff was potentially I didn't have the vocabulary or the emotional understanding to express it. And then I think, you know, when I lost him, who, you know, at the time I was hopelessly in love with, it, as you do it in life, you know, then it brought up a lot of anger, you know. And I think, first of all, I was just devastated beyond belief. Like I just couldn't believe, you know, why has this happened to me? It came, you know, that whole thing where you ask yourself, why me? You know, I've lost my mother and now you've taken, you know, my boyfriend, you know, what's going on? And then that started to bring up a lot of anger for me. You know, it was really tough. I didn't know what to do with it at the time, to be honest. I started to just, there was a lot of anger bustling inside. I was a very keen athlete, so I started to just run and run and run.
It was
a very interesting way to deal with it.
Almost like expelling it, isn't it?
It was. And then I started to, you know, that wasn't quite enough. I still had all this emotion and frustration that kept coming up. And, you know, I was, you know, a bit sort of pissed off basically with the world and with God for, you know, what he'd done to me and felt really sort of victimized by the whole thing, and just had this real situation where I just turned around and just said, well, stuff this. I just not interested in it anymore. And then things started to flip and I started to really take on this, you know, just I wanted to push everything to its limits. You know, what could I get out of life? I did sort of lacked caring for life. I didn't care if I lived or if I didn't live.
Wow.
And so I started to do a lot of extreme activities.
Okay.
I started jumping out of aeroplanes. I started took up rock climbing and took up really adventurous rock climbing and really sort of care whether
pushing our boundaries.
It was like, okay, well, if I live, great, and if I don't live, well, I don't care. I'm just exactly what you said, really push the boundaries to see how far can I push this. And you know, it was that fact that, well, I just don't care anymore if I live or if I die, which was not the most, you know, constructive things. I, you know, also dabbled then, I must say, with drinking and with drug taking and everything. And just, you know, I started to travel when my mid-20s. And, you know, you just get, I traveled on my own to places like India and Nepal and, you know, where it wasn't so safe. And looking back on myself into sort of very unsafe situations. But then I was kind of very lucky in terms of what happened to me, because after I left school, I studied marketing and a business. I had really had no regard for anything spiritual or anything religious or anything. I was just really, like I said before, very pissed off with how things had gone and felt like I got a rough deal and was not interested, because, you know, how could, if there was something out there, how could it do that? You know, you take things very personally.
Absolutely,
You stop trusting people because, you know, you're just not sure. Getting into long-term relationships was just, I didn't want to go there because, you know, what happens if I love somebody again? Are they going to get from me?
You don't want to have that, absolutely. I get that. I do completely get that.
Yeah, so it was, so that was really interesting. And I was going through, like I said, this really rebellious stage. I had a job which was very stressful. And the role that I had, a lot of people knew who I was. I didn't know who they were, even early on in my 20s. And it was really interesting. I like to share this story. This woman came up to me at our big corporate head area where we worked, and she sort of said, came up to me, she said, "Tanya," and I said, "Yes," like, "Hurry up, you're sort of wasting my time here." She said, "Look, I have a message for my auntie who's a psychic." And I looked at her, and that for me was alarm bells. I was not interested in any of that sort of thing. And I sort of looked at her and I was a little bit annoyed. I was like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "She has a message from you from your late mother."
Wow.
And I looked at her like, I don't know this woman.
Yeah.
I don't know. How does she know my mother has passed away? You know, and I looked at her and I said, "Well, take me to this woman, you know, really take me to her. I want to meet her." Anyway, so the next day I go with her. We go to this beautiful cafe and we're sitting there. I knew who this woman was straight away when we walked in. Beautiful old nonna with white hair and everything. I knew straight away that was the lady. Wow. And we went up and we spoke to her and she sat down. Now, I was very standoffish, I must say. And she proceeded to go through and recall all those times in my childhood where I had sat there and gone, "Mum, I wish you were here to see this," or "Mum, I wish you were here," or, you know, hiding under our dining room table going, you know, "Mum, where are you?" All those really deep, meaningful situations where I found myself in. And she was recalling every single one.
Wow.
"When you were here, when you were asking about this," when you, and I'm just sitting there going, my whole world was right? And I was like, what's going, how does this woman know this, you know? And I'm looking, I've got tears pouring down my eyes. I just, you know, I just really couldn't believe it. And I turned around to her and I just said to her, I said, "If you can do it, so can I. I said, teach me what you know."
Wow.
So it was at that point that, you know, I started to go and sit with her, and she taught me how to talk to my mum, which I was then able to do. She then taught me healing modalities. She taught me to meditate. She sent me to all these other different therapists. And so began my healing journey, basically.
Wow.
Where I was able to start, you know, step by step, removing some of the trauma, dealing. Yeah. There was I had a lot of controlling personalities at that stage, because you lose somebody or you've got that trauma in your life, you just feel I've got to control everything and everyone, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So I was just, you know, I started to learn a lot with her. I became a healer and started to learn all about crystals, and I did a lot of soul searching and personal development and everything, just to help me to deal with, you know, the traumas that I'd been through, and, you know, to really heal. So it was really, really helpful.
And how did that feel to, I mean, it must have been the most, as you say, standoffish as to who are you, what are you, you know, almost like, are you taking advantage of my vulnerability because I've lost my mom? And how did it then feel when she told you all of these things, and you, I'm guessing it was almost like your mom was back in your life?
Mm.
How did that feel then to... Amazing. Like the days, the weeks afterwards, to think my mum's here.
It was amazing. I'm getting goosebumps just as you say.
Yeah, I've had them. I've just had them, yeah.
Because she's around me all the time, and it's interesting, just quickly, you know, it's for so many years from then till now, I've had so many readings, and everyone's like, you've got some woman who, I said, that's my mum. She just comes with me everywhere. And I found myself in some ridiculous situations where, you know, she's there looking after me. Yeah. So it was so comforting, actually, to be able to feel her. And at one stage I got so good to have this exchange that I actually felt her touch my head. That freaked me out a little bit. Oh my God, what's happening?
Enough now.
That got a little bit crazy, but it was just really nice to know. It was like, okay, she's gone physically from my life, but actually she's still around. She's there for me to connect to and to be comforted. And I just know, like I said, I've been through so many situations where I just know she's looking out for me and she's organizing things.
I love that.
And it's sometimes, you know, if I'm feeling lonely, I'll just sort of sit down and have a chat, literally.
Yeah.
And it's actually enabled me to help so many of my clients that have come to me in the similar situation, to let them know that all they have to do is actually sit down and call in that person, you know.
Wow.
We're the ones with the resistance to it. We're the ones with the limitations to think, oh, that can't be possible.
Yeah.
And then just like any other tool, it's practice after that to be able to sort of speak to them. And you just feel like you're being, you know, wrapped up in this beautiful, warm hug. And it was just really comforting is not the word. I just felt content. You know, I just felt really loved again, and I know that comes from ourselves, but it was just this warmth that, you know, she is there, you know. And
it's
she's
almost like what you needed.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Your mom there holding you. It's made me feel so warm, and I've got the biggest smile just to think that. What a lovely story although not a lovely story, because you've lost your mom, you've lost your boyfriend, but mum's there and she's holding you. I love that. That has made me feel so content in myself.
Yeah. And I think what was really important to me, which I think has been a really big lesson moving forward, like for so many years I used to think, why has this happened to me? And was so in the victim mode of this was happening to me. Mm-hmm. And then there was that point where I started to work with this woman, and she wasn't taking I never felt at any stage that she was taking advantage of me or anything in terms of learning with her. I think I was the only person that ever said that to her. I don't believe she had a whole lot of, and she didn't take any money for any of the work that we did or anything. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
She just sort of offered it up. But it's at that point I started to turn around and think, you know, I've learned quite a lot of good skills. I've learned some really bad habits, control being one of them, which I needed to unravel and unlearn and then learn a different way.
Yeah.
And, you know, some abandonment things, which again became a bit of a program that I was just running through life again, which I needed to unravel and undo. But then it allowed me to see that I had gained strength. Yeah. I'd gained resilience. Mm-hmm. I had gained, you know, my own sense of self-worth because I had to in order to do it, you know. I had courage to just keep going through the life, basically.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I felt this immense gratitude for what had happened. And yes, it's terrible events, but it's the qualities that I've been able to gain as a result of through these things. So then all of a sudden I was able to flip it and look at maybe these things happened for me
instead
of to me.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So I thought, all right, I could turn this into a learning situation rather than saying, you know, poor me.
Rather than it being a victim situation.
Yeah, and that really helped me, Claire. Like that was a really big springboard into being able to, you know, turn things around. And then and since then, the amount of people that have come to me with similar sorts of woundings who I've been able to help them do the same thing and then see, look at all the qualities they've learned from that, is that's the gift because, you know, we go through these things in life and, you know, I really don't believe bad happens for no reason. I believe that we have to sometimes go through bad things.
Absolutely.
So we can experience it, you know, go into the depths of the shit basically, learn to become friends with it so that we come out and then always I find with most people I know and myself, then somebody comes into your life that then you can pass that sharing on.
I completely agree. It's almost like falling into a pit of despair where all these bad things happen to us, but it's only when we're at the right point in life that we can understand the learnings from that and then gradually get out of that pit. And as you've clearly are showing, you're living this completely different and fulfilled life where you're even glowing. You know, we don't glow when we're in our pits, do we?
No.
We don't. We
definitely don't.
We're just doom and gloom. And I love that. It's puts a spin on that. We could sit there and be that victim.
Yeah.
And we could sit there and be that vulnerability.
Yeah.
But what we're doing, and I completely agree, life is full of lessons and it's about learning what those lessons are. And they're not always nice, as you said.
No. And it was interesting because after I'd gone through these two death experiences that had happened in my life, I decided, you know, once I was starting to delve into the spiritual world and meditation, I got into Buddhism and I started to really explore what death was and their meaning interpretation because they've got quite a lot of information and books written on it. And it was very interesting because I was reading the Tibetan Book of the Living and Dying and they explain that book. Sogyal Rinpoche has written that book. It's brilliant. And he talks about the fact that, you know, we are like the clear blue sky. And if you think about it, you know, really you go up in an aeroplane and it's a cloud, crappy day and it's rainy and there's terrible weather around and you go up through the clouds and on the other side of the clouds, there is a clear sky. Yeah. The clouds are never touching the clear blue sky. It's always separate. And that's basically what our essential self is like. It's like this beautiful clear blue sky, which is untainted and untouched. And sometimes we go through life where we experience bad weather, you know? Bad weather comes and it's only a matter of time before the weather shifts and the clear blue sky comes out again, isn't it? Yeah.
I love that.
The clear blue sky is always there. But unfortunately, what happens, excuse me, I just had to cough, is that sometimes we get too attached to the weather.
Yes.
And we think we are the weather. And so we get into whether it's our anger, our frustration, our fears, our anxiety, and we get so much into that emotion, we forget that it's weather. And
yeah.
That we're the clear blue sky. And that's where I feel it's so important for people to find some support, you know, find somebody, a friend that they can talk to, or a therapist, or a group, or some, you know, and these amazing podcasts like what you offer, where they remember that what they're attaching their identity to is the weather.
Yes.
It's their clear blue sky, and they need to soar past that, connect again to that clear blue sky, and then wait for the weather and the storm to pass.
I absolutely love that. What I'm just imagining it, and it's absolutely so true, isn't it? You can imagine that you know, some people are thunderclouds, aren't they, with their anger.
Yeah.
I love that. I am going to tell that message. I am going to repeat that. Lovely. I think, so we've decided before we started this podcast that we were going to split it into two because you've got so much to tell. So I think if it's all right with you, on that fantastic note, I'm going to end this first part of our podcast, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about you in your later
second
yeah second half of life.
It's the second act.
Go get some ice creams, go to the toilet, go to the bar, we're coming back.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Claire, it's been divine.
Thank you, Tanya. Just before we end this, if people don't get the opportunity to listen to part two, where can they find you if they need to or want to?
So they can find me on my website, which is inpurpose.com.au, or I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram and on Facebook as either Tanya Levy, as you see my name, or In Purpose. And I'm also on LinkedIn as well. So love to have you send me a message or be in touch or follow all the things that I do. I'm also going to be running a beautiful, yummy self-care retreat next year in Bali for those that are interested. Wow. So, you know, lots of amazing things coming up.
Fantastic. And I will put all the links in the bio of the podcast. Tanya, thank you so very much. Go and enjoy your evening. I'm going to get on with my day.
Thank
you. Lovely. I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy listening to the episode and learn some tips on how to manage your emotions in a healthy way. If you've been affected by anything in the podcast, or if you want to share your feedback or questions, please email claire@angermanagementcoach.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and do remember, you have the power to calm your emotions and communicate effectively.